What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 43, presented by the Volleyball League of America. I'm Rob St. Clair, and joining me, the fearless leader of the new Boston Bounce franchise and also the head men's and women's volleyball coach at LaSalle University near Boston, Mr. Jeff Vautrin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. It's cool to get you on. I'm excited to hear about this Bounce squad. You guys are making the VLA debut next weekend in Buffalo. I can't believe it's almost already here. You guys excited?
We are very excited. Very excited to get out on the court again, play some really good competition, and hopefully we'll live up to the hype.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Even since you guys have joined Instagram or whatever, the social media presence, you've been killing that. It's great. Another community of the volleyball world that we get to kind of dip our feet into, which we love. We'll get to talking about your team a lot later. I want to get to know you first of all, so that the people kind of understand who's in charge of this whole operation. First of all, how do you even have time to run this thing with two programs, not one, but two college programs under your leadership at your alma mater? How do you have time for all this, man?
Yeah, Rob, it is a lot, let me tell you. On top of that, I love coaching at LaSalle University. It's, a pleasure to be coaching at my alma mater and helping them out in so many different ways. We've kind of, brought back the historic kind of, tradition of competition back there in the men's program. We're back to being, definitely around the top 15 in the nation, which is great. On the women's side, we got a really good, solid incoming class for next year. So I'm very excited about that. But honestly, I'm just excited to get a full season under my belt.
Seriously.
Going into my third season next year as the head men's coach, second season for the women's head coach, and still haven't coached a full season. So I'm just tired of this whole COVID thing, ready for it to be over and, ready to have a full season.
So yeah, us and you both, we're looking for the same for the VLA, trying to get a full real season under our belts too. Very relatable. It's so demanding, and it's cool to see a guy that played at LaSalle as recently as you did, be given the keys to both programs. So how did that even come about? What was your personal transition from playing to coaching? And obviously you still are going to suit it up every now and then, but, that's a mindset transition too, from player to head coach of the program that you played at just a couple years before. So tell me about that.
Yeah, honestly, it all happened so quickly. So I graduated college. After college, I knew I wanted to be involved in some capacity with volleyball still. Wasn't sure if I graduated with an exercise science degree. So I was, strength and conditioning, personal training, physical therapy type of stuff. So right after I graduated college, I went back home to Springfield, Mass, where I'm from. And, I wasn't really sure where I wanted to live, what I wanted to do, but I had a few options here and there. But one of my best friends from is from LaSalle University, but I wasn't necessarily there at the same time with him. His name is Micah IU. And he kind of offered me this whole kind of setup where I could go live with him for a little bit. He could help me out with connections. So I ended up moving to Hawaii. I lived in Oahu for about 8 months or so directly after college.
Not bad.
It was great. I kind of have, a history with Hawaii already. Throughout my entire life growing up, I spent a lot of winters and summers there, just through family and friend connections. Spent a sophomore year of my high school for first semester there. Went there quite often throughout the college scene, but loved the place. So I decided to take them up on it. Went out there. I was working for Spike and Serve Volleyball Club under Kevin Wong. I was the 17s coach as well as the strength and conditioning coach for the entire club. Things were going well. And then all of a sudden I got a call from my old head coach over at LaSalle University. And he pretty much was like, "Hey, Jeff, how do you feel about being our assistant?" And I was like, honestly, I got a good thing going here. He's like, "I don't know. It would take me a lot to come all the way back to Massachusetts, leave the weather."
Tough place to leave.
Absolutely beautiful out there, man. But overall, I had a talk with the head coach from LaSalle University at the time. I had a talk with the women's coach at the time, and they both offered me assistant jobs. And I was like, man, that would kind of look good as a resume builder. I do have a lot of connections back in Boston. It would be nice to be with my friends again. And then on top of that, Smash Volleyball Club, which is one of the premier clubs in New England, offered me kind of the head coaching spot for their 17s team, as well as kind of the option to be a strength and conditioning coach for them too. So I was like,
nice little package deal. Yeah. It was like, no to awesome. Wow.
Exactly. So it was all kind of just coming up like perfectly to come back to Boston area. And then I was like, all right, the last thing is kind of just like the housing situation. You know, I'm from Springfield. So like, you know, where am I going to live out there? And then immediately one of my buddies from LaSalle just hit me up and was like, hey, we have an open room in our house for about 6 months. Done. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going back. So ended up leaving Hawaii, you know, kind of a short ending. Definitely miss it out there. I go back quite often, which is, you know, very nice. But came back out there and was the assistant coach for about 2 years for the men's program, 1 year for the women's. And then the head coach for both programs just ended up taking off. And I was like, all right. So I sat down with kind of the AD at the time and kind of laid out all these plans. Like, this is what I want to do with the program. This is what I have to offer. I'm, you know, familiar with the school. I know how to recruit there. You know, I'm familiar with the area. I know what kind of, you know, student athlete is going to be successful here. And on top of that, you know, my volleyball experience coaching under Kevin Wong for a while. Also just my experience playing kind of helped me out in the coaching realm. So I ended up getting the head job pretty quickly. And since then, my first year as head coach, I brought in about 8 freshmen from all over the country for the men's program. We went from being around 6th in our conference to being 3rd in our conference the first year. We were heading in a really good direction, finally smoothing out our entire system. And then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just came to an abrupt stop. And then the woman's kind of gig was kind of the same thing.
But you know, maybe a year behind, it sounds like.
Year behind, took the position over COVID.
Right.
So really it was just a bunch of emailing, FaceTiming, calling recruits, just, you know, trying to make sure everyone's happy with the program, trying to bring in the right kind of talent. And now we're just here, you know, we're practicing as much as we can. We play a game here and there when we can, but really excited for next year.
Yeah, well said. That the Hawaii thing is so cool to me. Everybody who knows the volleyball community and how American volleyball works understands the impact of Hawaii in American volleyball is so much greater than its little size and remoteness in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The mm-hmm. volleyball culture there, top to bottom, from kids playing in the baby court at Outrigger Canoe Club or whatever it is, and then producing the phenomenal players that they have, plus Hawaii's men's program being as good as it is right now, Hawaii is a massively big deal. And I've talked on the show before with a handful of the guys about regional differences in the way volleyball is played. It's pretty easily defined, East Coast versus West Coast, but you got to throw the Midwest in there, obviously. And then Hawaii kind of has its own thing. So your familiarity with both as East Coast as it gets in New England and as far away from that as it gets in Hawaii, yeah. Compare and contrast the volleyball styles for us. What does Hawaii do differently than everyone else? And how does that compare to creating 2 varsity programs in Boston?
Oh, wow. Well, I don't want to, you know, kind of go off the deep end with saying that I'm, you know, born and raised from Hawaii. I'm definitely not, kind of just spent some time there throughout my life, but you know, from my experiences playing volleyball out there, getting coached out there, you know, kind of working with the volleyball realm out there, you know, they're very solid in every aspect of the game. You know, they teach setting, defense, you know, just so soundly. And just the ball control is such a big thing out there, you know, just making sure that we're taking care of the ball in all aspects of the game. I feel like they do play a little bit safer out there at times compared to other regions. You know, maybe just taking the ball, keeping it in play more often. But you know, there's in terms of youth volleyball compared to Hawaii men or Hawaii boys to, you know, Massachusetts boys, Boston area boys, you know, we got a lot of catching up to do is what I'll say. We're definitely getting there. Some really talented players coming out of the Boston area recently. Our Smash Volleyball Club, the premier club in New England right now, is doing great. But definitely got a long ways to go to catching up to the Hawaii boys.
Yeah, Hawaii's got something special. I mean, look at the national team right now, and you've got 2 Hawaiian starters, and then some. There's plenty more guys on the beach tour, girls, same thing. There's Hawaii's got its fingerprints everywhere on American volleyball. You made a good point there about the way that Hawaii develops its youth players, and they just do everything. Mm-hmm. They're taught all the skills.
Yeah.
Some of them play all the positions. They don't pick a position until way later than average. Now, as a college coach, both men's and women's, what are your thoughts on that, on specializing? When is that, when is the ideal time to do that in volleyball? And when is it time even to choose volleyball? Like a lot of people I've had on have raved about kids that play multiple sports. Lloyd Ball is a huge believer in that. Mm-hmm. So kids play multiple sports, kids play multiple positions. But at the end of the day, if you're going to have a career, a trajectory in volleyball, you kind of got to figure out what that's going to look like sooner or later. So from your perspective now as a coach, how do you balance all that? It's not easy.
It really isn't. I mean, if you are one of the guys that are specializing in the sport, like right off the bat, and that's pretty much all you play all your life, I just feel like there's a really high chance of burnout.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I've seen guys, you know, whether it be volleyball or really any other sport, if they're specializing it from a really young age and playing it year round, you know, day after day, year after year, they just get tired of it. They lose the passion for the game. And, you know, once they get to the college level, it's just, you know, if it's not fun for them anymore, they just tend to drop off. I myself am a big believer in that, like, a well-rounded athlete is kind of the best athlete. You know, I personally was a baseball player, basketball player growing up, played soccer here and there, football here and there. I didn't find volleyball until my freshman year of high school.
Me too.
And you know, like, it was great. You know, I found it, loved the game right off the bat. It was, in my opinion, probably the most fun game to play. And then my passion really took over once I actually went to Hawaii, saw more of like the bigger names out there, went to a UH game. And man, then I was sold. I was like, okay, these are freak of nature athletes playing out here. Like, I got to step up my game. I got to start practicing more. Like, this is going to be really cool when I get this good.
So when did you narrow it down to just playing volleyball? And when did you maybe start playing club? Cause that's a big one, especially for boys, because boys start later than girls on average, at least from what I've noticed. The recruiting window for girls is so ridiculously early that the NCAA had to kind of legislate that backwards. Mm-hmm. But boys, like, I didn't play club until my 17s year, and there was no chance I was getting looked at by anybody. One, because I wasn't good enough, but like, I just started too late. It's just kind of the way it is. You can't develop fast enough to go to college unless you start at a certain time. So what was that like for you, and what are you looking for now as a coach?
Well, I think I started playing club my junior year of high school. I played for a smaller club in Western Mass called Pioneer Valley. Shout out to the old club. They're doing good things over there as well. But we were just, you know, it wasn't like a 17s, 18s, 16s age group type of thing. It was just who was ever good and who can play, that's going to be the top team. So we're playing the 18s division because, you know, we had kids from all over, like, you know, age group, we had 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, and 18-year-olds all playing on the same team.
I actually like that model.
It was, you know, it was great for us. We had a really good time. And we played against some great competition. So that was really nice. In terms of, like, you know, when you should start club, when you should be looking for recruitment, you know, I'm, you know, not the, you know, end all be all by any means, but, you know, I'm looking at guys from like 16, 17s, normally 18s is getting a little bit later on. You know, you kind of find who you can at the 18 level if they're not already committed. But, you know, the club scene is a great scene. You know, if you're looking to play college ball, get involved in the club in some capacity. It's just, you know, the easiest form to get recruited. And then just email the schools that you're interested in. You know, if you find a school that, you know, they have your major, it's a cool location, talk to the coach. You know, if it's a good volleyball program and you get along with the coach, you know, chances are you'll be successful there and you'll enjoy it. But if you're just kind of sitting back and waiting for someone to find you, especially if you're not necessarily the biggest area for volleyball, you know, I think you should probably be a little bit more proactive.
Well said. And especially now with the Division III level growing at the rate it has lately, we've had a bunch of D3 guys on the show. Chris Hosley, of course, my last episode, a Springfield guy. It's a phenomenal opportunity for so many more guys now to play collegiate ball than there was before. And with the level increasing, it's a phenomenally good option. And you are a perfect example now, knowing as a coach, you mentioned earlier, the type of student athlete that's going to fit in at LaSalle, because you were there, you were in those shoes a very short time ago. And it's about what major, if your major fits at the school, if you're going to have a successful career after volleyball, if the size of the school, the area, the city, if all that makes sense. And Exactly. Yeah, I can't remember where I saw this. It might have been from Beta Bay, a huge club in the Bay Area in California, that posted about this funnel idea for recruitment and about being proactive as a kid trying to go play college ball. All of the emails you have to send out, all the coaches that are going to see your highlight tape, the conversations you're actually going to be able to have, the visits you're going to go on, mm-hmm. and then maybe an offer. There's such a high volume that it takes at the beginning to get down to those couple real opportunities. So,
oh yeah,
anyone listening looking to go play college ball, you got to do the work too.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. You know, and like you said, like Beta Bay, you know, very well-known club out there. You know, the bigger clubs, they might have it a little bit easier, but if you're in, you know, a smaller club, smaller region, like definitely do the work. Just send a bunch of emails to any school that you might be interested. And if the coach is interested, normally they'll get back to you, you know?
Totally. All right. So before we jump into talking about Boston Bounce, I've got a little speed round that I like to put the guys through that come on here just to see how they handle the first couple of things that come to their head. So you get to go through that. You have no choice. So here we go. First of all, early mornings or late nights?
Late nights.
Agreed. Best pregame warm-up song or artist?
Probably go with A Boogie.
Ooh. Best day of the week?
Saturday.
Common answer. There's one unique answer I'm waiting to hear for that question on the show. Hasn't happened yet, and I'm not gonna spoil it, but when it happens, I'll be excited. You'll know it when you hear it. Stuff block or service ace?
Stuff block.
Good answer. Post-game meal. What's the best thing to eat after a game or a tournament?
Some kind of pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely some kind of pasta. Maybe chicken parm. Chicken parm sounds pretty good right now.
Nice. That's my favorite too, for sure. What's the hardest position in volleyball?
Probably go setter. I mean, that's a hard question. That is a hard question.
Volleyball is a hard game. I don't think people realize enough, like the skill floor for volleyball is so high at all the positions.
It's like, you know, if you're thinking about volleyball in the hardest position, you got to go like the mental aspect, the volleyball IQ, the physical aspect. You know, middle's a tough spot to be in. Middle's a tough spot to be in. You got to have the physicality, the speed, but setter, you're just always thinking. And then I got it easy on the outside, so I'll take that.
Hey, you got to be good at everything.
Well-rounded.
Yeah, outsides deserve respect. What's your favorite jersey number?
17.
Are you wearing 17 for Bounce?
Of course.
Wonderful. Cats or dogs?
Dogs. Definitely dogs.
Favorite sports team in any sport?
Patriots. Gotta go Patriots.
Okay, fair enough. The rebuild is on. The rebuild's happening. Yeah.
See, I would say, like, I'm normally an NBA guy. I'm definitely a way bigger NBA guy
Celtics.
Than football. But I would say I'm a Celtics fan, but I'm more interested in players. So, I watch a lot of teams just because I want to see a lot of different players. And the Celtics right now, you know, they're hurting a little bit. So, sometimes it's a little more fun to watch the more fun teams.
I agree. I've actually thought about that a lot and how the NBA as a league operates and how the VLA can learn from stuff like that is that they're so star driven. And I think the game of basketball lends itself to that more, but they do a really good job marketing their star players and something we can learn from for sure. Who's your favorite athlete, any sport?
LeBron James.
Okay, LeBron fan.
I know that. Yes, I am.
I'm also a LeBron fan. I love the guy.
My guy, Rob. I know that's definitely a controversial talk, especially if we're talking about the older volleyball community. They might be leaning a different type of way, but I'm a LeBron guy for sure.
I agree. I mean, the fact that he's clearly the best player in the world is going to make him polarizing, but I'm on board. I'm on the LeBron fandom too.
One of my favorite things about him is just like not only his work ethic, but like how much time he spends on making sure that he's healthy, you know, time off the court. You know, that's huge.
Right.
Spending that much money in rehab, making sure he's like, you know, just always in tip top shape.
The amount of investment that he puts into his body, like we've seen it broken down in the media of this. It's insane. Yeah. It's wild. It's crazy.
It's wild. It's so impressive.
Like it is impressive.
Just the fact that you care that much. That's awesome.
It's obviously paid off for him. All right. If you could have a superpower other than just being LeBron James, what would it be?
You know, I think about this a lot. I'm not going to lie. And I would have to go teleportation.
Like, great answer. I think flying has been the most common one on the show. But that if I had to pick one, it would probably be to teleport also. Imagine just how much easier it would make your life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you can fly, like, how fast are you really flying? Like, if I wanted to go to Hawaii real quick, you know what I mean? Just play on a quick, you know, maybe a two session on Queens Beach. You know, I could just snap my fingers and teleport there. But if I'm flying, it might take me a few hours, might take me a few days. You know, who knows?
Great point. What sport are you the second best at other than volleyball?
I'm going to have to go baseball. Honestly, like, I really feel like if I was to get back in the game of baseball, I think volleyball might be my second sport anyway. So
interesting.
I think I'm going to have to go baseball.
What position did you play?
I was a pitcher growing up.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Spent quite a bit of time on the diamond. But once I hit kind of high school level, my high school team was definitely not really known for baseball. But the volleyball program there was pretty spectacular. So kind of took over my life after that.
Sweet. All right. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Common definitely answer. Favorite color?
Blue.
How about the Boston Bounce purple? Is that what I'm seeing?
Close second. Close second right there.
I'm excited to see the look. Yep. Is it a frog or a lizard, the logo?
Frogs. Roll frogs.
Where did that come from? Tell me that story.
Yeah, so we were talking about it with a bunch of our guys. You know, we were kind of deciding, you know, Boston Bounce, what could kind of be the mascot of Boston Bounce? We were like, we wanted something unique. You know, bounce is kind of, you know, related to like vertical jump, maybe how hard you hit the ball or something like that. So we went with the jumping aspect and like, you know, what's something that jumps really high? You know, you see frogs flying from tree to tree. You know, they're small, maybe they're a little undersized, you know, maybe coming from the Boston area. Some of us are a little undersized, you know, D3 guys here and there, but you know, they're explosive, you know, they'll surprise you sometimes. So
I'm on board with this. I'm super into it. I'm excited to see it on the court. Last rapid fire question, and this is my favorite one. What's the stronger feeling for you, loving winning or hating losing?
I would have to go.
And you can answer winning as a player and or as a coach, because it might be different.
So, all right. So I would say as a player, loving winning.
Okay.
As a coach, I might hate losing more.
So why is it different for you?
So as I'm just thinking back from my college days, and I think the most important thing for me is the quality of the play. So like how well did we play as a team? How well did I play as an individual? You know, I was thinking about back to like my 2015 year where we won our conference championship. It was, you know, so rewarding just to be on the court with those guys, knowing that we played a great game, getting the conference championship and moving on to the NCAA tournament. And then I'm also thinking about, you know, 2 years down the road where we lost in our conference championship. I was very upset. Don't get me wrong. You know, I hate losing. Nobody likes to lose.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you try your best, you work hard. And if you're happy with the quality of play from your team and in yourself, you know, losing doesn't hurt as bad.
I agree with that.
But as a coach, if you lose, like if your team loses and you know that we could have played better, oh, That's the worst feeling. Yeah.
And like, I wasn't planning on asking this, but this just came to my head. As a coach, especially as a young coach, who still plays a lot. How do you resist the urge? I mean, you can't do this. The NCAA wouldn't let you, but don't you sometimes want to just sub yourself in and go fix it yourself?
Oh, so often. So often.
how do you deal with that? Even when I was coaching club, like college club, I struggled with that. I'm like, guys, figure it out. I would just come in and I know how to do this. I'll just go in and do it, but you can't.
Yeah. It's, you know, when you're just sitting there and you're kind of like cheering on your team and you're talking about strategy and then all of a sudden you're just like, dude, just set me the ball. Set me the ball.
Yeah, here. Totally. You know? Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, like I'm really happy with our group of guys over at LaSalle and, you know, they're doing some stuff that I, you know, maybe I couldn't do nowadays. So, you know, it's a
good place to be.
Yeah. You know, like I'm happy with their game of play right now or their level of play right now. But yeah, it's definitely hard when you're just sitting there watching and you're like, I need to get on the court myself soon.
Uh-huh. being around the game without being able to play is tough. It's I love commentating matches. It's my second favorite thing to do, but playing's still up there for me.
Playing's different. It's just different. You know, that's why we're really looking forward to Buffalo, because we got, you know, quite a bit of coaches out there that are just, you know, eager to play.
Yes. So it's just over a week away. It's like, it's Wednesday night, the week before, as we're recording this, less than 10 days. We are so stoked for you guys to break it in. make an impact in your first weekend as the Boston Bounce. And boy, do you have a tall task ahead of you. You got the finalists from last summer. I talked to Hosley last week about what we can expect from Team LVC. I'll be talking to Tim Faulkner on next week's show about what we can expect from Chicago. But that's a heavyweight fight you guys are jumping into. So how are you preparing for that part, first of all?
Yeah, I mean, when we found out that those were the two teams going, we were like, man, we're jumping in the deep end right away. You know, like
I love that.
We're taking on the two toughest teams, well, two finalists. So, like, you know, we're ready for the challenge. Sorry, I just got so excited talking about, what was your question?
So you're talking to me a little bit before, right, we started recording. This team has been, the core of this team has been around for a couple of years.
Yes.
And that actually is a common thread across all of our VLA teams. But all the teams in Tier 1 were playing back in the PVL like 8 years ago. So tell me about just kind of the evolution of your core guys and the Boston Bounce squad into what it is now, and how much you guys have been able to practice a little bit leading up to next weekend, as I understand, as restrictions around COVID in Boston have loosened up a little bit. So give me a quick history lesson on the Boston Bounce group and what it's taken to get to this point with the VLA next week.
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of us were honestly friends since like childhood. A lot of us knew each other for a very long time, growing up in the Boston area. And then also just like, you know, Massachusetts, New England in general, very small volleyball community. So we all kind of knew each other. And then on top of that, we also all played against each other in college. We have a lot of guys from, you know, Boston area schools such as LaSalle University, you know, Wentworth Institute of Technology, Springfield College, MIT, stuff like that. And then we got some bigger name guys, more from like Sacred Heart, Harvard, Penn State. But like, yeah, we've just been, you know, kind of playing with each other ever since we were young, and it kind of just developed into this, you know, professional team now. So, you know, we kind of have that relationship on and off the court that we're just, you know, always trying to support each other, playing our best, stuff like that.
That's something that I love about every team in the VLA is that all of them love one another off the court. It's like, it's not thrown together out of nowhere. It's the teams go back. They have real like relationships. They have identities as a team, which I love pinpointing and talking about as I'm commentating matches. So if you could spare me a little bit of research, if you could describe the Boston Bounce style of play of heading into next weekend, and like, I'll obviously get a feel for this pretty quickly, but how would you describe your guys' play style? You've played together a lot before. This will be a little bit different, but if there were a couple of different ways to describe what the Boston Bounce volleyball means, how would you do that?
I mean, you know, one of the words that we really like to describe ourselves is bounce. You know, we are a little bit of more of an undersized team, but a lot of us, you know, we jump pretty high out there. So, you know, we're trying our best to just, you know, we're trying our best to reach up there with the big dogs. But I would say a few things. We're pretty aggressive from the service line. You know, we're definitely going back there, and, you know, height's not really an advantage too much from the service line. So we're taking advantage of that. We're pretty scrappy out there. You know, we're definitely hustling our ass or butts off. Sorry about that. and then on top of that, you know, we have a few good options that we really try to, you know, kind of like go to in times of need. But I would say, you know, our style of play is heavily set on our actually head coach right now. So we are actually, you know, practicing every Friday for the last couple months. And we got ourselves a head coach who's really invested in the team and really invested in growing the game of volleyball in the Boston area. And his name is Bill Villa. He is Southern California born and raised, ended up playing at UH, set some, blocking records over at UH, was kind of like on that tier of, you know, the national team where he was, you know, not necessarily the major guy, but he was in the kind of conversation, played first tier Germany overseas. Now he's back and he's just trying to get back involved in coaching. And he's been helping us out a lot, kind of just iron out the small kinks in our game.
That's awesome. What a great resource to have. I did not know that. And I'm excited to get to meet Bill. I assume he'll be in Buffalo with you guys.
He will.
Excellent. Excited to meet him and get to know him and his volleyball background. That sounds like a podcast guest to me.
Yeah, I could definitely set that up. He's excellent. A great guy, and I'm sure he would love to talk to you.
So what's the average Boston Bounce practice like? What are you guys trying to focus on other than, I'm sure there was a shaking the rust off period because the whole year 2020, all of us barely touched the ball all year long. So
definitely.
Once you got that over with, what does a practice look like for you guys? Because all the teams approach that a little bit differently.
Yeah. Well, there definitely was that shaking the rust off period for sure. But once we kind of got going, we have about 2 to 3 hour practice every Friday night. Get in there, kind of do some drill work, just making sure that we're comfortable blocking next to each other, playing defense next to each other. A lot of system work, making sure that we're all on the same page of where we want to be in terms of like at the net blocking, you know, what are our go-to hitting options in certain scenarios, and just making sure that we're all in the right spot on defense. But then really, what is our motto? You know, are we going to be going out there? Are we an ace or error team? Are we a, you know, killer error team? Or are we going to be more of a kind of ball control team? You know, I'm not going to give too much away. You'll kind of, you know, form your own idea of us in Buffalo, I'm sure. But just kind of like system work, making sure we're all comfortable next to each other.
One topic that's come up a bunch on the show before is, as I've talked to guys who have made the jump to play over in Europe, especially with language barriers, different places, different cultures, different volleyball systems. There's two kind of opposing ideas, but I agree with both of them. One is that volleyball is volleyball. Like wherever you go, if you really know how to play, you can fit in and you can figure it out quickly how to apply your volleyball game and your skill set to the situation you're in. But at the same time, I think I believe even more that volleyball, and I've said this before, volleyball is the greatest team game on planet Earth. And there's a difference, and it's noticeable on the court if you have chemistry as a team, if you've played together before. That is obvious to me as I've watched so much volleyball over the years. But at the same time, when you insert a good player who maybe hasn't played with you with the guys before, it doesn't take long for them to fit in and understand their role and just how to contribute. So that's an interesting kind of balance between those two ideas. What are your thoughts on that as both a coach and a player now with bounce? Like I think it's amazing that you guys have gotten to be able to practice. It's such a huge resource. But I don't know, maybe there are guys coming next weekend who aren't local, who haven't been able to come to very many practices, and you'll get them in and hopefully their volleyball skill will take over at that point. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the biggest thing that you got to kind of acclimate yourself to each team is kind of their offensive system. You know, what kind of set are you actually getting? You know, that was a big thing for me when I was hopping around from team to team was, you know, a lot of guys are setting, you know, quicker and lower and quicker and quicker. And, you know, I'm, you know, I like the speed of a set, but I'm also, you know, a guy that I want to use my athleticism, you know, set me at the top.
Go up and get it.
Let me go get it. You know, and I think that's a big thing is just the setter hitter connection, going from team to team. That's, you know, it takes a little bit of while to kind of get concrete and get down there. But that's like, I kind of think the biggest thing. You know, when you're introducing a new player that may have been overseas or something like that. Lucky for us, you know, we don't have too many guys from overseas, but the guys that we do, they've been playing with us for a while, even when they're not overseas. So it shouldn't take too long for them to acclimate themselves.
Perfect. So any preview that you can give us right now, a little over a week out about who is going to show up? I'd like love to get to know your guys going into it. I know I have a couple that I already do know, but give us, you already said there's a really solid D3 representation from a lot of schools in New England and just the Northeast in general, a couple D1 guys. Who can we expect? Anything that you're willing to share right now before Buffalo, we would be excited to learn who is Boston Bounce.
Yeah. So we definitely have a few guys just missing out because of COVID and stuff like that. But a few of the names heading out to Buffalo, you know, there's myself. There's Colin Ritter from Wentworth. There's Jalen Penrose from Penn State. And also he played overseas. There's Clay Paulin from UCLA. There's going to be Skyler Kaufman from MIT. Ollie Oshman from Wentworth. Brad Borsay from Sacred Heart. Jordan Napria from LaSalle University. So I would say it's, you know, it's kind of a healthy mix of the higher tier schools in New England. But yeah, we're excited to get out there.
Jalen Penrose is a nice one. And I'm not sure if Dave Wieczorek from Chicago is making the trip to Buffalo with the Icemen, but they were teammates together this year in Germany. Mm-hmm. So that would be very cool to see them on the other side of the net from one another.
Yeah. Jalen,
I think we'll get that matchup eventually.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that. You know, Jalen's definitely a big personality on the court. You know, he's been a part of like the Boston Bounce crew since we were about like, you know, 12 years old. So we're definitely excited to have him back and playing with us. And yeah, that would be a really cool matchup.
That would. So speaking of more cool matchups related to Boston Bounce, you guys are going to get a nice taste of LVC and the Icemen next weekend in Buffalo. But then about a month later, an event that's getting all kinds of buzz all over the internet, all over the country right now is the VLA Cup coming in Northeast Indiana in mid-May. And me and Hosley previewed it a little bit last weekend from his perspective on the board and with Team LVC, but you guys will be there. And you're going to get a lot more looks at a lot of different teams. All five VLA Tier 1 squads, a bunch of other Tier 2 guys like yourselves. Another opportunity to kind of prove yourselves. It's what the model is all about, what I think is so cool about it. And it sounds to me like you guys are so up for the challenge. And I'm into that. So what are you looking forward to about that event even more so than Buffalo next weekend?
I'm just excited to see more teams and play against, you know, a higher level of competition. You know, it's great that our first tournament is against two of the finalists. We're super excited for that. But definitely just being able to see, you know, teams from all over the country, teams that we don't normally see that often. Just because, you know, Team LVC, we have seen in the past, you know, it's necessarily anything new, definitely newer in this format. But, you know, we're definitely excited to see teams from, you know, out west, south, you know, all over.
So are we. We're excited. We're, as far as I know right now, we got 12 teams coming to Indiana. That's a lot. Two courts, just so much volleyball a weekend long. And you guys are going to be a huge part of that, which I just can't wait for. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah. We're excited to show off the Boston Bounce purple out there. So it'll be nice.
I love the purple. We got a lot of purple in the VLA. We got the Ascension from Arizona in purple. Purple is a very underrated sports uniform color. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it brings out the best, you know, that nice lavender tint is perfect.
Love it. Yeah, love the frog. Everybody go follow at Bounce VBC, excuse me, on Instagram. Check out the frog, check out everything coming from the Boston squad, heading into Buffalo, heading into VLA Cup, and then all down the road after that. So Jeff, that's pretty much all I got, man. I'm so excited to see you guys in person. I'm excited to get back on the court. It's been a while. It's been a while. The last thing we ran was in February back in Arizona. So that seems like forever ago. And there's so much more to come from Bounce, from the VLA, all summer long, all spring and summer long. So we're so stoked for that. Jeff, thank you, man. Thank you for joining the show. This is so cool.
Yeah, definitely, Rob. Thanks for having me. Definitely appreciate you having me on. And we'll talk to Iceman and LVC and let them know we're coming for them.
They are fully on notice.
Oh yeah.
I love that. You guys are really gonna surprise some teams. I already know. I can already tell this Bounce squad's gonna be really good.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be
all
fun.
Right. Yeah, totally. All right, guys. Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you next week. Again, Tim Faulkner from Chicago Iceman will be the guy. The last little preview for the Buffalo event next weekend. If you're not already following the league, you're crazy, do so. VLA Volleyball on Instagram, this YouTube channel where all the matches are going to be streamed for free. So check that out. Check out the website for a lot more detail on the schedule for both that event and for Cup and for the rest of the season. So follow Jeff and the Boston guys at Bounce VBC, and we will see you next week on the Deep Corner. Thanks for watching.